You'll find an authoritative witness to the gospel of salvation by grace alone in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Das. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Number one, I have submitted to the process prescribed by our church bylaws as over. Number two, I have requested a break for processing, healing, and growth for a minimum of 6 weeks. Number three, during this time, Pastor Dave and our lead pastor.
Number four,
as a general rule, I will respond to little, if any, criticism of me in the media.
Number five,
I will not be doing any outside speaking for the foreseeable future. Number six, I have asked our board of advisors and accountability to.
Number seven,
I have agreed to postpone the publication of my next book. And number eight, I have begun meeting with a professional team of mature Christians who provide wise counsel to help further my personal development and maturity before God and men.
That's the voice of Mark Driscoll. He still is pastor at the main campus of Mars Hill Church in Seattle, but as you hear from that announcement that he made on August 24th, he is taking a leave of absence. That's what I'll call it, a leave of absence for at least 6 weeks, and basically, not to put too fine a point on it, but just kind of going underground. What are we to make of this? There's been nothing but controversy for the last year and a half surrounding Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill. And there's more developments than simply his announcement of a leave of absence. Here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 9th, we're going to get another update on Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill Church in Seattle. Chris Rosebro will be our guest. Welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio right here in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Larry Peters joins us. We're going to talk about worship preference. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Marsh will bring us up to date on a federal appeals court in San Francisco hearing arguments on the impact of same-sex marriage on children. Well, it's about time, because children are part of this, I think. And then, since the church approaches very quickly, Holy Cross Day, you may have never heard of it, we're going to spend some time talking about that celebration in the church with Dr. Burnell Eckert, editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or for our beloved on-demand listeners, if you have a question, a comment you want to submit out of real time as you listen on demand, our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us for an update on Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill Church in Seattle, Chris Rosebro. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Chris, what's your take on the announcement late in August there that Mark Driscoll is going to be stepping down for at least 6 weeks?
Well, one thing is clear based upon the verbs that he used. This is what good exegetes pay attention to, nouns and verbs, is that he was the one in the driver's seat. He's not doing this because he's stepping down from ministry. In fact, this is kind of a self-imposed hiatus, if you would, but he's in charge. He intends to be back 6 weeks from the time that he left. He's postponing his book, and he and his elders have agreed to this arrangement. And all of this seems backwards for a man who's, well, the charges against him would disqualify him from being a pastor. But he's still in the driver's seat. He's still the one calling the shots. And this is kind of a self-imposed hiatus, if you would.
So in a sense, he has been allowed by Mars Hill, in essence, to dictate the terms of his leave of absence, the criteria that would be attached to him returning in good standing as the pastor there. He's pretty much writing his own ticket still.
Yep, that's correct. He's in charge. In fact, the bylaws of Mars Hill make it very clear that no one really has the ability to keep him accountable. I mean, that's just how the rubber hits the road. And so, you know, with all of the negative media attention that he's been receiving, and rightfully so, considering the charges, he is, you know, he's been become embattled, giving is down, attendance is down, and so this is a sense kind of a PR move designed to, you know, silence his critics, but also make it clear that he's still really in charge.
So even though he's not going to be at Mars Hill, even though he may not be like phoning in every day, he's still running Mars Hill.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I would, you know, based upon what's been happening there, I would say that he's been very, very busy man for somebody who's not going into the office every day. It seems more like he's telecommuting. And the reason I say that is because shortly after he went on his self-imposed hiatus, one of the nine elders who wrote a letter basically standing up to him and saying, the church's bylaws may not give us the authority to do what we need to do here, but God's word does, and so we're going to ask for you to step down. Mark Dunsford, one of the guys who signed that, no sooner did that thing get out that he was fired and let go. And so clearly Driscoll is still in charge and calling the shots, and the situation hasn't actually gotten better. If anything, because he hasn't truly repented, because he hasn't stepped down from ministry, the situation continues to actually stay at a boil.
This seems so tragically ironic to me that the charges against Driscoll have had to come from outside Mars Hill itself, by and large, from former pastors who have intimate knowledge of how Mars Hill has been run in the past decades and of Mark Driscoll's place in it. He's been asked explicitly to step down, not just to step down on a leave of absence, but to step down from the pastorate entirely because he's disqualified himself because of his various actions. He takes his leave of absence and begins firing other pastors.
Yeah, that's exactly what has happened. So kind of lets you know that this isn't about repentance. This is about maintaining control. This is about somehow finding a way to ride out the storm so that at the end of it, he's still at the helm of Mars Hill. That's really what this is all about.
How bad's the storm, Chris? Because I read recently about several of the satellites being told, I think it was even this last Sunday, several of the Mars Hill satellites, and we'll get to those in a second, these congregations, if you can call them that, where Mars Hill kind of beams its message every Sunday in different service times, they're being told, look, we're shutting down, or we're, quote-unquote, transitioning to what we don't know. How bad is the storm for Mars Hill, the organization?
Well, attendance and giving are way down, so much so that they're having a major financial crisis, and they announced that three of their multi-site churches, now these multi-site venues are venues where, not where Mark Driscoll himself shows up to pastor them, instead his message is brought in, piped in via video and the internet, and basically he's kind of like a tele-evangelist that isn't broadcasting around the world, but, you know, kind of close circuit into multi-site churches. And so three of their multi-sites are for sure closing. The children's ministry in their Shemamish congregation is completely kaput. And the Huntington Beach multi-site, yes, that's Huntington Beach, California, in Southern California, that's on hold. And the way that the messaging has come out of Mars Hill, that's on hold pending a large donation. They need giving to go up in order to keep the Huntington Beach multi-site open.
See, I'm looking at this just in, I'm not a businessman, but I think I see what's going on here. A lot of these churches that begin satellites do so because those satellites are big offering plates. I mean, that they don't cost that much to run. You don't have to staff them as heavily as you do the main campus, but the offering plate passes just as quickly through the audience there.
Yeah, that's kind of a jaded way of looking at it.
Yes, but it is.
That, and yeah, they're a little bit easier to get up and running. They're kind of like little franchises, if you would. The issue there, when you kind of look at this, is, you know, kind of in the grand scheme of things, even though they're overall less expensive to maintain, you still have rental property, you have development costs, and then you have staff that you have to keep in mind. And then one of the things that I find fascinating is that no one's really kind of picked up on is that the church model that Driscoll not only employs but has taught, you know, countless thousands of other men to employ in their congregations is there's a technique that they call is called dressing for the wedding. And so one of the things that the Seeker Driven Network does in training their up-and-coming megachurch pastors is they employ a technique where if the church has 1,000 people, they need to staff it as if they have 1,500. If they have 1,500 people, they need to staff it as if they have 3,000. And so there's this habitual way in which what these megachurch pastors who follow Driscoll's model do is they're constantly putting pressure on their pastors by overstaffing and over-budgeting in order to kind of force them into a financial situation where they don't have any choice but to grow. And if they, you know, and if they don't grow or don't grow at a particular rate, then they're going to flounder. And so this is one of the, it's kind of a technique used in the corporate world with sales forces. You know, you take a young upcoming sales guy, you know, who's fresh out of college, and you say, you know, guy, you got talent. We really think you have a future with our company. Let's take you out, and we're going to buy you a Jaguar. And oh, that apartment that you're in, you're better than that. Let's go ahead and put you into a nice townhouse and get you a mortgage and stuff like that. And so what happens is that they laden these guys down with all of this debt, and then they don't have any choice but to perform. And this is actually one of the things that the Seeker Driven Network does to their, you know, up and coming pastors in their coaching networks. They encourage them to do this, and the term for it is called dressing for the wedding.
So if you build it, they will come. If we staff it, they will come.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of the idea. So there's this constant pressure then to constantly keep growing. And with this particular model, you know, Driscoll being one of the guys who has implemented and taught others to do it, it makes it impossible for him to, you know, continue at, you know, with a status quo because he's floundering in debt and overstaffed. That was prior to the all of these scandals hitting, and now that there's been a decline in attendance, it's only exacerbated the situation so much so that, I mean, if they don't drastically change what's happening there right now on the ground at Mars Hill, the only thing that Mark Driscoll will be pastoring in 6 weeks is a mountain of debt and dead bodies.
Now, let's see here. We have a church that is doing what these churches are simply not permitted to do, albeit because of scandal surrounding its pastor, by and large. They are not permitted to shrink.
No.
What is the message? Put yourself in the shoes of the Mark Driscoll wannabe. There are thousands of them out there. Chris, you know better than I do. The pastor who has pretty much drunk from the well of Mars Hill and said, I'm going to follow Mark's plan. Our congregation's going to follow Mark's plan. Entire congregations have been founded on this. Put yourself in his shoes. What's the message that the latest news out of Mars Hill is sending him?
Well, if their theology is consistent, I mean, these guys are all about the numbers, you know, and they never are apologetic about that. You know, quality, you know, not so much. Quantity, absolutely. And so in their parlance, in their theology, in their messaging, and what they tell people is that we know that God is blessing our ministry because look at how many baptisms we've had. Look at how we've grown. Look, you know, and we've been in the, you know, top 10 of the 50 fastest growing churches in the nation for the past 10 years. See, God has blessed us because we're growing. Well, now that he's growing, if he's going to be consistent, he has no choice but to believe that God is against him and he's cursed. Which, you know, is kind of a fascinating way to put it. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going on here, but if they're consistent with their theology, then everybody who's followers of Mark Driscoll and what he's doing have to logically be consistent and say, well, God obviously is against Mark Driscoll and he's no longer being blessed. And, of course, that just creates this complete cycle because it's based upon a misunderstanding of the proper distinction of law and gospel. But I think that's, you know, there's a lot of people who have been coached by Driscoll or who have the same model as Driscoll who are kind of stepping back and going, whoa, God must really be against him.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're getting an update on Mark Driscoll in Mars Hill in Seattle. He's pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Stay tuned. Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique, so why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough, getting an update on Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill Church in Seattle. A couple of the things I want to discuss with you that are kind of, they're not peripheral, they're actually part of this story, but they have their impact far beyond Mars Hill. The first one we've talked about a bit here, I read someone talk about the Starbuckification of the church, the franchising of the church. Let's talk about and I want your thoughts on these satellites, these campuses, sometimes they're called. The pioneer in this in Southern California has got to be Rick Warren and Saddleback, where they have very successfully satellited their church all over Southern California and elsewhere. What's the rationale for doing this? Why are they doing it? And do you think it's a wise practice?
Let me start with the last question first. I do not think this is a wise practice. I think this is a very dangerous practice. In the corporate world, we kind of understand that mom-and-pop, stores are only capable of, offering so much. And so what we've seen in the course of our lifetime, for instance, if you live in the Midwest, you probably remember going to a family-run hardware store. Well, those family-run hardware stores are no longer in business anymore. Now Lowe's or Home Depot have, taken over. These are the big box solutions. And what happens is a big box is able to offer a huge offering of many different items. But the one thing they can't offer you is kind of that personal one-on-one relationship type of customer service that the old family-owned businesses could offer. Now, when it comes to hardware store decisions as far as, you know, buying a wrench or a screwdriver or something like that, I don't necessarily need a relationship with somebody who has a shop in order to be able to do those things. But when it comes to being shepherded, when it comes to being discipled, the big box model actually is not a good model at all and makes it impossible for you to have that one-on-one time with a pastor, which is actually a very vital thing in our Christian growth and discipleship. And so what these guys have done is they've abandoned the biblical shepherding model when it comes to disciple making and feeding and caring, and they've taken on kind of a cattle rancher mentality instead. And this is, they actually openly talk about it this way. And we've gone from having sheep to having cattle, and they're being herded. And the idea then is that you have these franchises, big box franchises, where you have turnkey solutions with a proven seeker-driven vision casting leader who's demonstrated that he's capable of drawing a crowd through his marketing or his edginess or his relevance or however, whatever. And what's happening is that we're losing that one-on-one time with pastors, and instead what we're getting is basically kind of like a Fortune 500 approach to the church, where, you know, I think if somebody wanted to put a good satirical site up, they should put stock quotes up for the different church franchises. The Mars Hill franchise, their stock is down. Maybe the Saddleback franchise, their stock is up. And it would kind of make a point, because that's really what we're dealing with. We've lost pastors, and now we have CEOs, and churches have become such big business that now we have these big box churches. And what happens when they come to town? Oftentimes, you'll see some of the smaller congregations where the pastors are faithfully preaching Christ and Him crucified, and are excelling in word and sacrament ministry and caring for and tending their sheep. Well, those sheep end up leaving those small congregations, and they end up folding. And what's left is, well, all you get is this impersonal big box thing where you have no ability to know your pastor. And then what's expected is that your small group leaders are supposed to fill in the slack that the pastor can't do because he's physically not capable of meeting with the thousands of people that he's drawing on a Sunday.
So someone says, I attend blank Mars Hill campus in the suburbs of
Albuquerque.
Of Albuquerque. And Mark Driscoll is my pastor. What would you say to them?
No, he's not. He's not your pastor. He doesn't know you. If you were to be on the same street as him and you'd be walking down the sidewalk and you bump into him, he wouldn't recognize you as somebody who attended Mars Hill. You're just a number. And so he doesn't know you. He doesn't know what you struggle with. He doesn't know where you are as far as your maturity in the faith is. He doesn't know your family. He doesn't know the needs that you have. He doesn't know what you do for a living. He doesn't know your wife's name. He doesn't know your children's name. He's not your pastor. He's a celebrity, and there's a big difference.
There are a lot of churches that should know better, pastors that should know better, that are attempting this satellite model. Even in our Lutheran circles, they are. Can you... To my way of looking at it, it is not just an asacramental way of conceiving of the church. It's an anti-sacramental way of conceiving of the church. What are your thoughts?
Well, what I find fascinating is that, you know, you're right, it's anti-sacramental. The guys who are doing this, not necessarily Missouri, but, you know, in evangelicalism, who've pioneered all of this, these are guys who deny the efficacy of the Lord's Supper, deny the efficacy of baptism, and yet they will absolutely believe in the efficacy of the multi-site, which basically means, you know, that now they have kind of a sacramental understanding of the vision-casting leader. God can't use water. He can't use bread and wine, and he can't be bodily present in the Lord's Supper. But, man, he sure can use a multi-site model to reach the masses. I think it may not be anti-sacramental. It's just that the sacrament now is actually the vision-casting leader.
The other issue that I wanted to raise is kind of the bad boy pastor, okay? Driscoll kind of pioneered that ground. There were others who were attempting it, but he really pioneered it. And then, of course, we've got the kind of second generation of bad boy pastors in Fertig and the other Elevation Church. He's kind of the really bad boy pastor. This in Driscoll's case, you either got to outgrow it or it catches up with you at some point. The lewd sexual descriptions that have been published of some of the teaching sessions he's done, almost seems a little, I don't know if the right term is oversexed or undersexed. I've never been able to tell those two apart. And then just kind of the behavior of throwing people under the bus, get out of my way. What are your thoughts on the bad boy pastor? Does it have a future? Because there are a lot of pastors out there, the Driscoll wannabes, who are trying it out.
Well, I'll say this, is that I think there's a lot of young guys coming up who've basically invested in this bad boy pastor thing, and I can point you to more than two dozen of them that are kind of up and coming through the seeker-driven ranks. And this situation has not caused them to slow down. If anything, some of them are actually kind of speeding it up a little bit because they feel like with Driscoll falling that now there's some kind of a vacuum that they can kind of fill. I unfortunately think that the bad boy pastor is going to be around for a while, and this is going to have to play out in several different congregations down to its logical conclusion before evangelicalism as a whole begins to question whether or not this is a good thing.
So we talked at the beginning about control and about how Driscoll's latest move to take his at least six-week leave of absence is really a facade for just maintaining control at a distance. How important to the Driscoll model, speaking more broadly of this, the seeker model that has pervaded all denominational lines, they've crossed them all, how important is control ultimately to that model of the church?
It's imperative. The reason why is because if Driscoll didn't have absolute control, if he actually had to be accountable to a board of elders that was comprised of mature men in the Christian faith, this wouldn't have been allowed to go as far as it has gone. And the reality is that Driscoll is a guy who understands that part of the growth that he's experienced is because of the edgy shenanigans that he's been able to get away with because he's had no accountability. So total control is imperative to the seeker-driven model, and they're not about to give it up.
Quickly, two more, 30 seconds. If, by some chance, Driscoll doesn't return, this 6 weeks turns into eight, and then eventually the church says, look, this is our only opportunity to get rid of him. We got to do it now and try and move on without him. Does Mars Hill survive?
No, absolutely not. It doesn't survive, not in its current form. The only way it can survive is if the current multi-site campuses call pastors to pastor each of the individual congregations. There's no leader in Mars Hill that has the charisma and draw and edginess of Mark Driscoll, and that's because that person wouldn't survive there. He would be a threat to Driscoll. And so there's no way that Mars Hill survives this without Mark Driscoll.
Chris, what are you going to be talking about tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight we're going to be looking at Joel Osteen and Terry Savelle Foy and taking a look at different aspects of the Word of Faith heresy.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith, and you can listen to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith right after the broadcast of Issues Etc. today at piratechristianradio.com. That's all one word, piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Larry Peters. He has recently written a blog post, caught my attention, called Not My Preference, Nor Yours. We're going to talk about worship preference. Are churches that maintain the historic liturgy, that have chosen not to succumb to the cultural pressure to abandon it entirely, are they just exercising their preference? Do they like their worship that way? We'll get an answer to that question with Pastor Larry Peters right after this.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the Word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people. He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.